You guys okay if I'm right here hanging out?
Yes.
Okay, I can't get back here. I feel like I'm in a cage. I was just thinking, I fly every Friday. I fly somewhere. 45 weekends a year. So I was just thinking, Cowboy Church Thursday night. If I fly in here on a Thursday and schedule from here to wherever I'm going, I might be able to slip in some Cowboy Church. I wasn't ready to stop that right there. That was, you guys say like foot stomping to me. That was like, wow. I enjoyed that. I thought it was too quick to just stop. So I had to do an encore. I wanted to do another one. I didn't want to get out of order. But I was like, stay. That was good. Did you listen to the lyrics?
Yes.
When you sing a song like he sung about change, and he got up there and did his little thing, when you're changed, you sing like that and it'll have impact. See, everything, if your life becomes something, it'll have impact. Here's the deal. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. You can read your Bible for knowledge, or the Word can become your life. You can read your Bible and get to know all about God, or you can get to know Him.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you can just exchange knowing about God, or you can live knowing Him. If you teach the Bible, you can read your Bible long enough to preach a sermon. Anybody in this room can preach a sermon reading your Bible. But if your life becomes a sermon,
That's it.
Then you can impart something. Your life will carry weight. It's transforming.
Be the church.
And then you're at work or whatever. It'll come out in your attitudes. It's who you are. It's not what you say you believe.
Right.
It's who you are.
Come on.
And I promise you, that's what will change the world. Like going to church, doing church, even the Cowboy Church thing, man, every Thursday, it's great. I can tell it's great. I would like to be here. You hooked me, man. I'm a hungry bass. I just grab any lure. It just hooks. That's how I feel right now. You hooked me. But even coming here, it's not going to change the world. But when the gospel changes us,
that's it.
If we become something because of Him,
yeah.
Come on, let's get a million miles away, people. I know some of you might not even know me. I don't know some of you, but we got to get a million miles away of this thing just blessing me.
Right.
Called the gospel, just
Come
taking
on.
Care of me. God just Come taking on. Care of me.
Come on.
Protecting me. He does all that stuff. That's who He is. That's in His nature. But if the whole reason you're a Christian is for Him to take care of you, your life won't have impact.
Right.
You'll live scared. Circumstances will drive you. You'll always be looking over your shoulder, wondering if you're going to be okay, praying out of fear. And all that stuff happens to good-hearted, good-minded people that don't understand why He actually came. He didn't come just to take care of you. He didn't come to make sure your basket's full of eggs and your barns are full of whatever. He came to put Himself inside of you.
Yes, He did.
He paid a price to put who He is inside of you.
He did.
He didn't pay a price on the cross to take care of you.
No, come on.
To transform you.
Yeah.
To make your life brand new. He sang with all his heart, I'm changed. Woo! And I believe it. I believe it. I'm so excited. I think I'm going to fall back. I got to go. It'd be cool if I step back and don't fall down. That would be really cool. Because I feel like I'm going to jump back here or something, fall back here. You guys making sense out of what I'm crying out here just a little
bit?
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. I just came here to pour out my heart. I'm not really a preacher. I don't preach sermons. I just pour out my heart. I listened to those lyrics and that stirred me up. I went to church most of my life, guys. It was all about making sure I go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm here now. And then all it was, Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. And at best, it left me a hopefully forgiven sinner. I'm just telling you what I experienced growing up. Mom took me to different places to try to keep me interested because I wasn't all that interested. And as I got older, I got less interested. So she tried different flavors and different things. It was always the same message. He died on the cross because I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness and I want to make sure I go to heaven. That was the gospel. That's what I grew up with. Forgiven, heaven. Someday. It was all beneficial. It was all for me. Everything in the message was what God could do for me, what God can give me. Nobody ever taught me how he could make me more like him, or how he could transform me, how to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man.
Colossians 3:10.
Who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Nobody's talking about that to me. They just left me a forgiven sinner, hopefully heading to heaven, and you better stay in church because you need to be in church when he comes.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was young, I thought, wonder if we ain't having service when he comes. I used to think that when I was young. I said, I guess he's smart enough to come when we're having service.
So he knows who will be there or not.
Man, if he comes and I ain't in church, woo! But here, when I got saved, I was 33, when I got saved, I ran in the bedroom. Holy Spirit led me into my bedroom. Your secret place could be anywhere. It was my bedroom. It was, in fact, when I got saved, my wife and I weren't really together at the time anyway, so it was just me in there. It's a good, lonely, quiet place to be. There wasn't no chance she was going strong. I don't know why I'm messing up really bad right now. Forgive me. But I'm just telling you, she wasn't going to come strolling in there anytime soon. So it was a safe place to be with Jesus. And here's the cool thing. I didn't get saved because my marriage was over. I didn't run to God to restore my marriage. I was celebrating it was over. I was like, good. I'm starting over. I remember looking in the mirror. I said, you ain't the handsomest looking cat on the planet, but somebody will need you. I wasn't foolish. I knew people were vulnerable. I knew this love thing, I love you, usually wasn't love. It was need. I need you. You benefit me in this season.
Right.
There's something you have that I need. I love you.
Right. Right.
There's something I'm getting from you. There's something you make me feel. There's life is better because of you. I love you.
Come on.
Don't ever hurt me. Don't ever break my heart. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever. That's not love. Love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Keeps no record of wrong. Why? Because it's love. I love you.
Right.
It's not I need you. It keeps record of wrong when it's need.
Right.
See, we're running this thin line, this thin ice when we say I love you and commit ourselves to each other that we think the people closest to us can break our heart. And they're the ones we say we love, and love takes no account of the wrong done. Love doesn't cry for itself, it cries for others.
Come on.
We spend a lot of time hurting people.
Come on.
We spend a lot of time offended and angry and frustrated and
yeah?
And I'm going, wait a minute, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I started looking in this book and started realizing as soon as I got saved, it started hitting me. Whoa, when Adam sinned, Adam became something he never was created to be.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right.
Everything got twisted and perverted.
It sure did.
The emotions you and I grew up with, God didn't do that. Adam did that. When he got separated from God, you were born into Adam.
Right.
You say, well, God gave me emotions. No, 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 not the ones you grew up with. Adam gave you those.
Yeah.
How do you know? Every one of them springs out of a self-centered wellspring.
Right.
Your emotions, from the time you can remember, it's all about you.
Right.
Trying to survive, trying to fit in, needed to be loved, need to be connected, need to be accepted, need some stability.
Right.
Need to feel valued, need to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody in the room knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
I start looking at this thing and think, wait a minute. Everything God made man to be got twisted and perverted through the separation from God and through sin. And every man, Romans 5, was born into that mess. Every man was born into Adam, and you must be born. And we turn born again into a beneficial prayer that forgives me and takes me to heaven instead of changes me back to what was.
That's right.
Oh, my.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I can accept him and receive him and confess him and proclaim him. And say, well, everybody's going to have their moments. Still be angry. Still be in unforgiveness. Still be frustrated. Live in rightness. Justify my life.
Yeah.
Right.
But hey, I go to church and proclaim him and I believe.
Yeah.
Come on, he didn't pay for that.
Good.
He paid to make you new.
Yes, he did.
He paid for change.
That's right.
Yes.
Without you trying so hard. Without you getting into works. Without you being legalistic.
Come on.
Yeah.
He paid for change. He paid for you to look and see that He's so good that He never lost sight of what He made us to be.
Exactly.
That He never allowed man to change who he is. That's why He's still changing men.
Exactly.
He's amazing.
Yes.
His love has never failed. On your darkest day, on your most willful venture, on your most secret moment of whatever that wasn't good, He looked at you and said, I know who you really are, and one day you'll
yes,
see who
yes,
you are.
Come on.
But I never changed my mind. Yeah. See? What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, they don't know
what they do.
What they're doing. You can translate that, they don't know who they are.
Right.
They're blind, they're deceived, they don't have a clue, but we know them from the beginning.
Yes.
They only know themselves from Adam.
Right.
We know them from the beginning.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep. Right. Yep.
We were born into Adam. Must get born again. So what's born again? Dying to everything you were before him? Dying to everything you were growing up? Saying, I don't accept this as normal. I don't accept this as my lot in life, my calling. I'm done with rightness. I'm done with he said, she said, tit for tat. Broken heart, hurt feelings, disappointment, insecurity. I'm done with it. I'm exposing it. It all has a self-centered twist. It all flows and lives and survives when self-centeredness is present.
Right.
You couldn't be angry if it wasn't about you. You couldn't be disappointed if it wasn't about you. If it wasn't your dream, your occupation, your life. You couldn't be frustrated if it wasn't about you. If we learn to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's not because he needs it more. Maybe. Yeah, you need not. Just kidding. Seek ye first his kingdom.
Right.
His righteousness.
Right.
And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Full vats and barns? Everything necessary to be like him and to live what you're here for.
Amen.
The truth itself is enough to give you a total attitude change. Change your perspective and line up your eye. All of a sudden you realize nobody owes you a thing. Nobody, that's a menial, weak, trivial arena we've all lived in. Well, he shouldn't have. Well, they shouldn't have. Well, how come she? Well, they should have never. Well, they just know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're justifying not being like him.
There you go.
And you're letting one person decide who you are and how you are, but that one person's name isn't Jesus.
There you go.
Now that's a problem. And then we're going to go to church and sing he's Lord and let other things govern and dictate our life.
Mm.
Oh, I'm on it right now, see? You probably want them to come back up. Are you still okay with me?
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to talk it straight, because this gospel is designed to change our lives.
Yes.
It's amazing. And it's good news.
Yes.
Why? Because he loves us.
Yes.
He's not mad at you. He's not... No, he knows who you are. His blood, Jesus' blood, right now as I'm talking, is on the mercy seat in heaven, speaking better things over your life than judgment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Why? Because he knows who he created you to be, and he knows who you are when you're yielded and surrendered, and he lives in you. And he thinks that's worth paying for.
Yes, he does.
See, I never understood why he died for me. Did you ever think this growing up? Like, well, why does he love me so much? Well, why does he want to forgive me? Well, I can't believe he loves me after all I've done. And then you hear the message, you go to church, you're trying to be somewhat good.
Yeah.
But you know you're not all that good. And then you're getting a little older and you know you shouldn't do this, and you do it anyway. And then you end up back in church, because it's Sunday, you better go to church. And you're doing the church thing. But you start identifying yourself based on a lot of stuff, and you end up not feeling real good about yourself. You end up, yeah? And then you start wondering, can he still love me? Does he forgive me? Is he mad at me? See, that whole tone is so deceptive. See, no preacher, and I didn't know Jason, but no preacher in my life growing up told me why he really died on the cross. I had to go to my bedroom to find out, and the scriptures just totally bear witness to it. No preacher ever told me that Jesus died on the cross to redeem and restore my value.
That's right.
They all said he died on the cross because I was a sinner. I realized he had to die. It cost him death to pay for sin.
Yeah.
But he didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died because I was created to be his, and I got lost along the way. And a lie clothed me, and he wanted to get the lie off me and clothe me in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the
Father.
See, we make it all about going to heaven. He makes it all about heaven coming back into us.
Yes.
Come on, your whole life it's all about going to heaven. When you go to church, you saved, brother, you saved. Hey, you saved, you pray the prayer, you get baptized, brother, you in, you out, you in, you better get in, you're out, get in. And they're all talking about quoting a prayer on a certain day. That'll never change the world. Letting the gospel teach you that everybody around you has value, it's worth his blood.
Amen.
Teaching you what love really looks like through his life and getting that in your life. Where you're done being defeated, discouraged. You're done letting people and what they see and don't see decide what you see if he's the light of the world.
Yes.
Come on. You're done letting sin against you produce sin in you. You're done repaying evil for evil. You're going to overcome evil with good. You're going to shine as a light. People are going to see he's God in your life. So I'm just talking about Christianity. Not blessings. In fact, you get free from yourself, you'll be so blessed, it's ridiculous. You get free from yourself, you realize how big of a burden you were to yourself. Because you were never created for you. Come on, you were never created for you. I can show you in the Bible, Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image. You're not here for you, you're here for his image. And isn't that amazing? You're all unique, we all look a little different, we have different faces, figures, hairstyles, but we can all look like him.
Yeah.
True.
Different nationalities, different pigments of skin. I'm looking right here at my brother. My brother's black, I'm white. We can both wake up and look like him, but we don't look nothing like each other.
That's true.
You're a lot better looking, your smile's good. The truth is this. The truth is this. Look, you are not going to mistake us for siblings. You ain't going to say, yo, man. But here's what I know. Here's what makes us one.
Yes.
One mind, one faith, one spirit. Here's what makes us one. No matter where he's at, no matter where he lives,
right.
No matter where I'm at, where I live, no matter how much we look different, and you would never connect us as blood family.
Right.
Watch. Through the blood of Jesus, he can wake up and be just like Jesus.
That's right.
And I can be over here and wake up and be just like Jesus.
There you have it.
And that's the body of Christ.
Yes.
The body of Christ. You get it? Okay. He paid to make that possible. He paid to put his life inside of you. You better believe your attitudes matter. You better believe the function of your life matters. But you can't bite your lip hard enough. You can't get into legalism and works and try to change yourself. You see this truth and you begin to yield. What's clay do? Clay just yields. The great potter just fashions and presses and molds the clay. His master creativity just fleshes out in that clay, right? What's a person do? He's the potter. We're the clay. You yield to him. You read your Bible. Oh my goodness, I was never made for me. I was never made to just take things personal and just get upset and frustrated. Man, I'm done saying people can push me too far. And if they do this one more time, and that's it. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
What a lie. I don't see that in your life. I don't want that in mine. And you start getting alone and talking like that, mean business with the Lord, grace will come. There's this thing called grace. It's called God's willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf.
Right.
It's called grace. Don't be afraid of it.
Right.
There's people out there preaching against grace because some people preach it so liberal, they think grace is permission slip to do whatever you want and all God's grace. God's grace is transformation.
Yes.
But it's not works. It's not legalism. I'm not working at this thing. I've never woke up one morning in 22 years and tried to be a Christian. Wake up and try to live the Christian life. That gets weird. I wake up and I'm enjoying I'm his.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying he loves me and forgives me and he's put his life in me.
Yeah.
I wake up and I'm accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
I wake up and I'm washed and I'm clean and I'm holy and blameless and above reproach. Colossians 1, don't get offended. I'm holy, blameless, and above reproach. Colossians 1. Yeah? Romans 6, reckon myself dead to sin, and alive unto God. I'm not waking up trying not to sin. That would be sin consciousness. I'm waking up alive in Him. And it says if I'm righteous conscious, it'll produce His fruit to holiness. All of a sudden, I'm walking in levels of holiness without biting my lip trying. That sounds like grace.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm holy.
Yay. Isn't this good news?
Yes.
Guys, He paid to put His life inside of us.
He did.
Going to church will never change the world. Becoming love has to.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
If we miss becoming love, we miss why He came. We'll learn how to do church and fail to become her.
Yep.
And we'll all do our own little flavors and styles, and we'll love what we do, and that's why we're a part of it. But if it's not changing us as individuals in our everyday spheres of influence, we're missing the point of why He came. Is it okay if I talk that point in this church?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes,
sir. I want religion to put me to sleep. Be in all the right places, saying all the right things, and not become what He paid for.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah? I just don't want some little one little people thing. I'm just one little people thing away from a fallout. Just one little people issue. Yeah? Let us make man in our
image.
In your own likeness. It says, and in the image and likeness of God, He made man in the next verse. He made man with intention.
Yes, He did.
Yes.
He put Himself in the man. That's why He breathed into him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And man became a living being. Yeah. And everything that God is in that breath.
Yes, sir. That's it. That's it.
Isn't God love?
Yes.
Of course He's glory and majesty and all wise and a rock higher than I get all that. But everything He is flows out of who He is.
It does.
God is love. Yes. It doesn't say for God was so majestic He sent His Son. For God so loved.
Right.
God is love. And He made man in His image.
He did.
Now watch this. Pay close attention, because this is what changed my life 22 years ago. This burns in me. He made man to love. And when man sinned and separated himself from God, he got cut off from the source of love. And everything he was created to be died and got perverted. And becoming love is why he was here, right? To love. And when he got cut off from the source of love, he became in need of love. And every one of us was born into that deficit and that lack of identity. Everybody in this room, every face that's looking at me, was born into Adam, and we all were in need of love from the time you were born. That's why you were insecure before you hardly knew about anything. That's why you could be angry before you could speak English. No, you did not have to study and hit the books to master jealousy. Everything got perverted. Man didn't just sin in the garden. He took on the very nature of God's enemy. And what was love became self-centered.
Oh my.
Jesus comes. In the fullness of time, a root shot out of dry ground. Right? And He says, if any man, which means we're all invited. If any man come after me, let him first what? What's first on the list? If any man come after me, let him make sure he prays a prayer and qualifies and gets his name in a book called Life. If any man come after me, let him first deny. Bam. Matthew 16, it's there. What's first on the list? Deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. And the true born-again experience is designed to flow through a denying of yourself. Realizing you were never made for you. You were made for His image. And then you go to the waters of baptism and you die to everything you ever were so that you can come out and live to everything that He is in you.
Amen.
Yes.
You die in the likeness of His death so you can raise in the newness of life. It's not protocol. It's not church ordinance. It's the power of God.
Yes. Yes.
You go in there and you're sincere. And everything you ever touched wrong and everything that ever touched you wrong is going under and dying in the likeness of His death. And you're dying to sin once for all. It's consciousness. It's memory. It's desire. It's pull. You're saying, I am not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for His kingdom. and you go under the water and you die to everything you've ever been so you can come up and walk in his resurrection power. It says, surely if you die, Romans 6, if you die in the likeness of his death, you'll be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah?
Yes.
I was never taught this. I was told, pray a prayer because he might come yet tonight, you know. And I was like, lead the prayer. That's what preachers do. They say, if you leave here tonight, you might slide off the road and hit a tree. You better be ready. And they make it all about going to heaven. If you were to die tonight and don't know where you're going, raise your hand. Everybody just does, feels like they raise your hand. Every eye closed, we pray. We say, you're good. And then you go to work and you're mad at your boss like you were the day before. But you're covered. It's not the gospel. It's a self-serving lie that crept in. The gospel's always been about transformation. The gospel's been perverted in a lot of ways.
It has. Mm-hmm.
But it's actually the same.
Yes. Yes, it is.
If all you do is hear a gospel that benefits you without transforming you, it's a perverted gospel. If you believe a gospel that allows you to have times of being disappointed and despairing and frustrated and maybe even mad at God, you've believed the wrong gospel. While I was yet a sinner, he said through his son, boy, you're a whole lot more.
Yes, sir.
You got potential, you got purpose, you got destiny. And I'm willing to back you with everything I am and pay the price to get you out of that mess. Mm-hmm. If you'll just come to me and seek ye first my kingdom.
Exactly.
And I'll put my life in you. I'll put my spirit in you, my wisdom in you. I'll put my ways in you, and we'll be one.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
See, I feel that all over me. You say, brother, you're out of your mind. I'm probably out of yours. Look, I'm just done letting you frustrate me. I didn't wake up for you to love me today. You don't owe me a thing. Why would I give you that power to decide who I am and how I am? Why would I wake up needy another day and need people? Well, I wouldn't be mad if they... Why are you letting them dictate your life? Because you don't know who you are through him. So you keep trying to find your value through others and you're sorely let down.
Yes, come on.
And then you go from relationship to relationship and untrustable and broken trust and... And after years of that, your heart's hard, and you don't even know who's your friend, and you don't even know if you want friends. And then this self-centered lie creeps in, and it's all of a sudden, it's you're at church singing, it's all about you, but you're proving it's all about you. Come on, if you understood what I'm talking about, you wouldn't even know how to feel sorry for yourself anymore. Sorry for yourself? It's the loneliest party you've ever attended. Nobody's there. Except maybe one or two people that agree with your pain. And then they stroke you and rub you. It's the seat you're in, dude. They stroke you and rub you and give you permission to stay there. And then you call them friends because they care.
Yes, sir. Come on.
There. Are we all right?
Yes.
You sure you're still glad I came?
Yes. Yes.
We're just getting started. Here's what I believe God for every time I speak. Now, when I'm done, you got two choices. You say, boy, I hear what he's saying and I want it. Or you say, boy, I hear what he's saying, I just don't want it. But I pray that nobody leave this room and say, what he said? And I talk too simple. And I talk way too plain. There ain't nobody sitting here going, what is that? So isn't that what the love of God would do?
Yes. Exactly.
To make such a draw on your heart to locate you. To locate whether you're willing to die or not, surrender or not, let go or not. Or if you're going to hold people in a position that he's never holding you. That's right. Are you going to hold people in a position he's never held you in? I wonder if God held you in the position you hold others in sometimes.
There you have it.
Well, they're going to need to prove themselves to me. They need to walk this thing out for about 6 months before I'm even going to look their way. I know how folks are. I ain't going to be nobody's doormat. I'm done being their dartboard pin cushion. They take advantage of me. I think I've been a neighbor. I'm done with this. Could you imagine God looking at you sitting in heaven for the 24 hours with his arms crossed? I ain't putting my heart out there no more. I ain't putting my heart out there. I ain't got no step on my heart no more. It's good I don't slumber. They keep me up all night. I'm done with this kind of thing. What do you think, elders? Amen, Paul. Come on. There's language that we speak, things we agree with and think that Jesus never taught us through his life.
Exactly.
He said, don't let anyone on earth be your teacher. You got one teacher, and he's the Christ. How much have we learned outside of him? How much have we learned the way that seems right to a man, the wisdom of the world? He said, she said, tit for tat. Why wouldn't the few? Well, how come? Well, all that language never came from him. Ain't that something? Well, we were trained by it, weren't we?
Yes.
We were homeschooled in the wrong home. I say it all the time. It's not even to be funny. It just sounds funny to people, but we were homeschooled in the wrong home. You were taught by wrong teachers, false teachers. Yeah, yeah. People did you wrong, and you told people the story that cared about you, that sympathized with you, and they said, they did what? And then you cry harder and tell them more intense. And then they wrap their arm around and say, I can't believe they did that to you. Nobody deserves to be treated that way. They're going to pay. And you just learn that stuff all the way through till you're so full of rights and so full of yourself that somehow you think the whole world revolves around you. And you don't say that, but it's that way. It's just all about your day, your feelings, who did what, who didn't do what, how it went, how it didn't go. And it's this self-centered little narrow little world. He said, unless that seed dies and falls to the ground, it stands alone. And all of a sudden you live your whole life just survival mode. Just trying to get through life, get by, feel okay. Whew. But that seed would never die, never fall to the ground. Spring up. He'll bear much fruit. And this the Father's well pleased. That you bear much fruit. Then if you're bearing fruit, he's still going to prune you and clip you so you bear even more. Wow. So Adam got cut off from love and became in need of love. We were born into Adam. You must be born again. So born again means to get out of yourself and into him. Get out of the need of love. Get grafted back into love. That's why Ephesians says to know, watch, to know the love of Christ which passes
all understanding.
To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of our instruction is love. Not to be love, to become love. Yeah. So now I'm learning more as I read my Bible and all this is making sense. I'm going, this is 22 years ago, I'm going, oh my goodness, you paid a price, showed me what love looks like. You didn't tell me to sing to you and pray to you when I'm overwhelmed. You said follow you. We usually sing to him and pray when we're overwhelmed. But he said follow me. Somehow we thought we're supposed to sing to him and pray to him when we're scared. Am I making sense here or what?
Yes. Yes.
But he said, follow me. Why? Because he's not just our suffering savior. He's not just our sin sacrifice. He's our model for life.
Yes.
He came as a man, got empowered by Holy Spirit. Yes. He did what he did as a man. And said, follow me. He's saying, my life is what yours can look like. This is what you're here for.
Yeah.
Follow me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how are you going to do that? You're going to deny yourself. If any man come after me, let him first. That isn't some legalistic, rigid, I can't think for myself. It's realizing. The light's coming on. Repentance. I know this will look a little flaky and fruity, but repentance can be as simple as this. Duh. Duh. You read your Bible, you go, duh. Why do we think repentance? Repentance changes the way you think. I used to be thinking for myself, and now I'm thinking for his kingdom and for you. Just a switch. The eyes, the lamp of the body. If your eyes single, your whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. It says if you see clear, you'll be clear.
Yeah.
That means even if things are going the way you hope they would, even if people close to your life make bad choices, yeah, you don't have to ever let where somebody isn't decide where you are, if he's the Lord.
Yes.
Now, if you have that Christianity we all grew up with, that it's just about him making our day better and our life smoother and making people treat us right, well, no wonder people have a skewed view of God, because they're wondering what God's been doing. Go to a picnic or something. He sure ain't watching my life, because he's letting everybody do everything to me. And this theology preaches him, well, you earned it. He's teaching you a lesson. It's his form of judgment. All this weird stuff. So you never have a clear view of God, so you can never truly honor him and give yourself to him and become intimate with him. Because you're always confused about him, and you're finding him through the way life unfolds instead of finding him through his son. There's a problem with this. A lot of people don't get real close to God. They just pray to God, their list.
Right.
I've met countless people that'll tell me they never, when they were alone, just, Father, thanks for loving me. I so appreciate you desiring to live inside of me and changing me forever. God, I thank you. You see me and you don't see sin, failure, weakness. You see destiny, purpose, and potential. You see me holy and blameless through the blood of your son. Thank you for calling me son.
Yes.
I know countless people that never woke up in the morning, just receive the love of God. I'm not saying they don't pray. They pray their list. They pray for their kids. They pray for their job to go better. They pray for their boss to treat them okay. Our prayers give us away. You know, the alarm goes off. Oh, Lord, it's 6 o'clock already? Father, you're going to have to give me grace if I'm going to function today, Lord. And they call that prayer. If I'm going to work beside Jimmy today, I think I'm calling off sick. Even though I'm not sick. I don't even know why, what I ever did to you that you don't change Jimmy. Why you let him do that to me day in and day out? I would think, Lord, you could touch Jimmy. Hello? People think like that. They pray for their sake all the time. And somehow they think God's their genie in a bottle, busboy, table waiter.
Come on.
Instead of their father.
Yes, come on.
Yes, sir.
Man. You know what's awesome? You know what the gospel taught me? The gospel taught me to wake up every morning and truly believe this, and I don't even have to try anymore, to wake up every morning and believe this, that nobody owes me a thing. If you don't owe me a thing, I'll never get caught off guard. I started this a long time ago. You don't owe me a thing. That's how you never get hurt in church. Hello? Instead of getting reduced to church shopping. That's why you're always shopping. And even the cowboy church will work for a while. But sooner or later, it ain't no hoedown anymore. Yippee-yay-yay. Little doggy, whatever. All of a sudden, but used to be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jason's a little, I don't know about. Amazing.
Yeah.
You wake up for you, all those lies will stay prevalent. You wake up and seek first His kingdom, you'll look through new eyes. I mean it. If you wake up and you sincerely start believing nobody owes you a thing, you'll be following Jesus. You sure will. Your days of hurt and frustration and insecurity and low esteem and self-consciousness will end. Why? Because you've been alone with Him when nobody's looking. You've been saying stuff like this: thank you, my life's not my own. You live inside of me, and nobody owes me a thing today. And I have no man, woman, straw, anything but to love. My debt is to love. And it doesn't feel like a debt now that you've left me, so.
Yes.
So if I woke up to need you today, you're probably going to let me down at some point. But if I woke up to love you, this thing is on. And your worst day can't change my best day. And all of a sudden, I'll never let what you don't see decide what I do see. And I'll never let where you're not determine where I am. And all of a sudden, I'm done being reduced to only being as strong as the weakness around me.
Exactly.
And I'll never let a man be my reason for being unless his name's Jesus.
Yes.
I'm a pastor. People come to me and say, well, I wouldn't feel this way if. You don't know what I've been through, Pastor. You need to hear my story. How much am I supposed to put up with and take? No, you need to be patient here. And then they got it all laid out like a movie. And they're letting all those facts that are unfortunate decide how they are today. It's idolatry. It's letting things matter more that don't matter most. You're deciding yourself for them instead of through Him. Look, I wish everybody treated you right every day. But you learn by now that don't happen. Yeah. And that ain't the point. The point is you waking up to be like Him.
Amen.
Getting aggressive. Taking ownership of this thing. Walking in authority. I'm telling you, it's a place of authority.
It is.
Because you're not in anybody's pocket anymore. Nobody, like, you're not knocked around like a pinball. You wake up for one reason. To be like Him. That's Christianity. I'm going to make a strong statement, Jason. Narrow. Anything else isn't true. Christianity is a form of it, and I'm not saying your heart's impure, and I'm not saying you're going to hell and you ain't saved. I'm saying you're going to miss out on the glory of what He paid for. The last thing you need to do is have a right to have a right. If that right doesn't produce Him. I never understood, nobody's ever explained this to me. How do you deny yourself and have all these rights?
Exactly.
How do you deny yourself and pick up your cross and have rights? And if you don't deny yourself and don't pick up your cross, how can you follow Him? They all go together, don't they? So if you deny yourself, you'll be able to pick up your cross. Pick up your cross means don't let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't let where people aren't decide where you are. Don't let how life is going decide how you're doing. Amen. Carry your cross. Follow Him. Ain't that something? Amen. We spend so much time studying fallen man and seeing our own experiences that sometimes we get tricked. Good-hearted people get tricked into following each other. And we think the way life has been is the way it really is. And then we try to find balance. Not be in denial. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, but brother, everybody's going to have their moments. No, that's why you have yours. It's your position for it. Take away the runway. The plane can't land. Challenge yourself in that thing. Say, wait a minute, why am I selling cheap when I'm not for sale? Why am I selling so cheap when I'm not for sale? Why am I just buying into where everybody has their moments? All you're doing is justifying yours. So then when you have your moment, there's no place of repentance because you justify it. I don't think I have to have my moment unless it's a moment in Him. I don't think I have to get weary with my wife. I don't think I have to backlash at my spouse. I don't think I have to get angry with you. I think we sell cheap. We're not for sale. I think love covers a multitude of sin. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
It
A kind word tones down a harsh word. You overcome evil with good. They sound like scriptures to me. I read them somewhere. See, if this thing isn't producing Christ in me, I'm not thinking in his light. The last thing I need is a justification to be less than him. And the last thing I need is your support to be so. I don't need a fan club. I don't need a support system that doesn't empower me to be like him. I don't need somebody to sympathize. I need somebody to bear witness of his heart. And if somebody really does something out of order in my life, even though it stings, who knows what I mean? Even though you have to walk through sometimes that emotional hit that you... Sometimes you just... It's people that you didn't even see it coming. You know what I'm saying? You can't let that thing take you out. You can't ride that thing. At some point, you need somebody in your life that's wise enough and loving enough and sincere enough to sit you down and say, okay, listen, I understand how you're tempted to feel right now, but why are you letting what they did decide who you are? If Jesus did that, we're toast. Did you picture Jesus carrying the cross and all of a sudden he analytically it hits him and he goes, what am I doing? These people don't appreciate me. Father, I've done nothing but heal their sick, feed their hungry bellies, cleanse their lepers. For heaven's sakes, I've raised some of their dead. Barabbas kills a man, I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy, I'm bringing peace. And they want to let him go and kill me? I've had it. Look what they've done to me. I've done nothing but good. Man, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. I don't even know what we saw in them in the first place.
I'm out of here.
You know why he laughed it so hard? Because it's stone true. And you can't even imagine Jesus talking like that. And he didn't teach us to talk like that. So why is that our language? Because we've been trained in another camp. It's time to get born again. Call dead everything we learned in that camp. Put on the wisdom and spirit and knowledge of the Lord. Yeah?
Yes.
Time to put off the old man and his deeds and stop justifying the things that don't produce. Here's the deal. I'm glad you're clapping and I'm not putting it down. What I'm saying is what I'm preaching is every man's individual privilege. And what one person does and what another person does with Christ, the way he's preached, is going to be found out and decided. That's what makes it so amazing. But you've got to decide, what am I going to do with what I'm hearing tonight? Am I going to find a reason to be discouraged, stay angry, or say whatever? Am I going to shake my heart and say, man, he didn't cop out. He didn't take a shortcut. He paid a heavy price. It's time I pay the price of my own life. Come on. It ain't working. For people that are living for their, they don't feel good about themselves. They're always looking for the praises of men. Jesus said, how can you believe you who receive honor for one another? You need the praises of men to feel praiseworthy. How are you ever going to live by faith and believe? You know that men decide how you're doing all the time. Jesus, John 5, lays it out. How can you believe you who need one another to feel like somebody? You all good?
Yeah.
Man, this is a serious moment. You should see you guys. You should see what I just saw. I was like... Everybody looked the same at once. It was good. Yeah. I think you're listening. Come on. Can't make you believe, can't make you want Jesus. You can just preach the good news. This is the love of God. He never changed his mind about his people. And he believes we're worth paying for the life of his son. And he believes putting his life in us is worth putting his son on a cross. This is the love of God, people. The love of the cross isn't... I don't know if I can do that. I'll try it. Oh, let me go over. I'll go over. No, I'm good. I was going to try to do it the other way, but I couldn't. The love of the cross isn't this. It isn't. Look at you people. Look what you've done to me. Look what your sin has done. Isn't it time for change? Don't Don't you think you owe me something by now? How long are you going to stay the same and let this happen to me? Don't you think it's time to change? It's not the gospel. Here's the gospel. I know who you are. I've known you from the beginning. Your value, your created purpose and destiny is worth every blow I've received. I paid the price for your sin. Come out of darkness and turn to the light. I'm the light of the world. Come to me. I love you. Your life is worth living in me. I'm not mad at you. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. You see what the cross is saying? The cross is declaring good news. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
Yes.
People say, yeah, but there's a judgment. I don't see one scripture that tells me the judgment of God leads men to change. It's the goodness of God.
Yes.
And His mercy triumphs over judgment. Yeah?
Yes.
It's just people sometimes, they just speak out of turn. They don't realize what they're saying, and they're attacking something they don't even understand. Because they were raised in a camp or something, they think they always have to uphold judgment and try to find this healthy balance between the two. It's the love of God that changes people. And if you listen to what I'm preaching, the love I'm preaching is not mushy. It doesn't allow you to stay the same. It calls you to change.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
The love of God is saying you're so much more than you've been living, believing, thinking. Come out from among you and be ye separate, and I'll be a father unto you, and you will be my people. Yeah? Changed me. Took me in a bedroom 22 years ago. Changed me. Look, don't elbow your spouse when I say this. Don't compare yourself to me. I'm telling you what's possible. And you don't have to believe me when I say this. Time will tell. But I wouldn't know what it means to be mad at my wife. I wouldn't know what it means to demean her and get frustrated and spew at her. I settled that in the bedroom. It wouldn't matter if she did that to me. I won't do it back. It's my revelation. And I want it to produce life. And they gave me a mic. I'm crying it. From the cage. I'm crying it. This livestock auction pit. Look at the cowboy truck! If we miss becoming love, we miss why He sent His Son. And we're looking to God to be blessed by Him. Failing to receive the grace that changes us. Are you following me? Oh, we're okay. I knew I could make it. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
We miss becoming love. We miss why He sent His Son. He didn't send His Son to take you to heaven. He sent His Son to put His life back inside.
Yes.
No one comes to the Father. It's way more personal than a passport to heaven.
Yeah.
You claim a passport to heaven and never get personal, you never get intimate with God. Do you know that you're called to bear fruit? Do you know that nothing on the earth reproduces itself unless it comes together with another? How are you going to bear fruit unto God unless you come together with Him? So that the beauty of who He is comes into you, so that everything you give birth to looks like its Father.
Yes.
You show me anything on the earth that doesn't reproduce without intimacy. Two coming together. So be with them. It's not weird. It's not a sexual thought. It's a spiritual truth. You waking up knowing who you are in Him. All of a sudden, He starts coming through you in your everyday life. I travel all the time. He comes through you in your attitudes. Get in line. You see the impatience around you. You see how self-centered people are, pushing and shoving. If you don't live this way, that stuff will start making you hard. you'll start stereotyping people and having them figured out instead of laying down your life for them. Come on. You're going to do one or the other. You're going to go this way in Him, or you're just going to go this way in the wisdom of the world. You'll think you're wise. Who needs to know the ins and outs of who this, and they just this, and they're only doing that because, and wouldn't it be a whole lot better to see them, Father forgive them, they don't know who they are, they don't have a clue. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't even be living that way. All of a sudden your heart hurts for them instead of hurts because of that.
Yes.
All of a sudden you're crying for them instead of crying because of them.
True. True.
Ain't that something?
It is.
See, love has a different look. For God so loved. Aren't you glad it doesn't say, for God was so frustrated and wits end with humanity, He finally played the ace and sent His son. Then you'd have to worry if He's still got over it. Or you know how the judgment and condemnation would come, the devil would lie. You'd think you were the main source of that scripture. I knew I pushed God too far. But it doesn't read that way, does it? For God so... I've always said this in my heart. I've shared it a few times, preaching. Anybody that has trouble forgiving and holds on to unforgiveness has never truly encountered and been touched by the absolute true forgiveness of God. Amen. Because if you ever stand forgiven by God, mm-hmm, and know that He doesn't see you for what you've done, mm, or for what you've become, you can't not forgive others.
That's right.
The beauty of forgiveness is so overwhelming. The goodness of God is so amazing. It's designed to restore these things back into our life, where you're not trying to forgive. Because if you're trying to forgive, you're in unforgiveness. If you're trying to love, you don't love. And if you think, well, we'll grow there, brother. No, your perspective has to change. In other words, if you're trying to forgive, you have a platform for unforgiveness. Do you think God's trying to forgive you?
No.
Are you guys getting this?
Yes.
It's these simple little foxes. We grew up thinking these things. And they steal the precious fruit of the vine all the time. Don't get weary of hearing them. I'm crying it out for your sake. See, here's the raw truth. I say it everywhere I go. Sunday, I'm getting on a plane. I'm flying home. My life is fun in God. It's going to stay that way. There ain't nothing nobody can do about it. But you can't keep me from His presence. Don't matter what you think about me, I'm going to hear His voice today. I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I know Him to some degree. He's real to me. I have relationship with the Father through the Son.
Yay.
So like, I'm going to lay on that bed that they were so gracious to let me stay in their home. And I'm going to lay in that bed and know Him.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing nobody can do to stop it. And you think I believe that and have that, and I'm going to be like, well, I can't believe they. Well, they shouldn't have said, well, I'm hurt. Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not going to be the right day for that either. And any day after. But I'm not saying it in an arrogant way. I'm not saying it in a challenging way. I'm saying it in a relational way. You want that confidence in your life. You want to be able to go to bed at night in His faithfulness and thank You and yay, and wake up with purpose in the morning. You're not waking up to survive. You're waking up to shine.
Yes.
And you're not trying to shine. You're just getting a right perspective, and you're saying yes to becoming love. And you're just, through communion and prayer, putting away the lines, the chips that we don't even realize are there. We're just putting them away. So who He is can begin to be formed in our life. And then what happens is you get thrown into the same situations you've always been thrown into. And love starts responding. All of a sudden you don't react like you used to. All of a sudden your eyes change and you're changing. And you didn't bite your lip to try to be okay. You just see it differently.
And all of a sudden He gets all the glory and you love Him all the more. And you're not a super Christian, you're a believer. It's funny how every time somebody lives the gospel, we think they're a super Christian. Man, they're amazing. I'm thinking they're probably just a believer.
If you are what you are by the grace of God, it's probably all Him. They just believe right. Come on, we have super Christians, we think, in the church. Nobody's in heaven going to get a super Christian cape. You're going to fly in the third. There might even be heavens that weren't disclosed in the Word, we think. You know, they'll be all up there with their big SC capes. Looking down on the rest. Who didn't fly as high. I think we're just believers. We love not our own lives unto death. Watch. Pilgrims, sojourners, through our lives saying we're seeking a homeland. This isn't where we're going to be. But we are going to make a statement while we're here. We're not going to love our own lives unto death. And that's how we overcome. Yeah? We refuse to believe fear. We refuse to believe the things that don't produce life. We are not going to reduce the gospel to a survival kit. It's the answer of a transformed life. Come on. You can hear this is true. This is so many scriptures that say this is what the gospel is. And somehow we got tricked along the way. I don't know about your life, but I know in my life, all the messages I've ever heard growing up benefited me without transforming. That's why so many disappointed people go to church. Because they've been promised something that wasn't promised. Wouldn't it be amazing to wake up in the morning and have no conditions on your love and on your countenance and on your disposition?
Because the condition was already settled. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the last I checked, He's there.
Boy, that sure beats needing to be right and frustrated because of why I feel, well, that's not fair. Be careful with those things. They're lesser wisdoms that don't carry life along with them. Might be factual, but in another world. Not the one we're from. The way that seemeth right. That's the problem. It seems right. And hurting people agree. But if it doesn't produce life, it can't be Him. Fair enough? I just threw out a little foundation of Christian living for you tonight. I preach the same stuff all the time, actually. Just from different angles. But actually, we're going to do another service as well. What are we at? Tomorrow morning? 9:30? People showing up at 9:30 on Saturday? We'll see. You coax them, you can bring a bull. I'll try to ride it or something. I'll just trust Jesus. I think I could do it in the Lord. Bring a bull, man. I'm just kidding. Tomorrow, and if you can't catch the services, that's fine. You don't have to beat everyone, but sometimes things progress and we cover more stuff. But tonight, I was a super foundation. The love of God. He sent His Son. Not to forgive you and take you to heaven. To mold you and shape you into the people you were intended to be from the beginning.
Yes.
The cross brings you redemption. The word redemption means brought back to original value. It's the word redemption.
Yes.
John 20, He raises from the dead. Mary goes and the stone's rolled away. You know the story. She sees a man thinking he's the gardener. Where have you taken him? If you've taken him, take me where you live. And he looks at her and says, Mary. And she goes, Rabboni. And she knows it's Jesus. And she's, could you imagine that? This is not a Bible story. This is a real woman. Who was touched by Him and delivered by Him, and she watched Him die. She was standing there the whole time they wrapped Him and took Him into the tomb. You can bet they had to drag her out of there to close it. You couldn't keep her away from the one she loved. She wasn't afraid to die. She was dead without Him. And there He is behind the stone, and He's dead, and she still has to go because He's on the other side. She's going to lay there and put her face against it, probably rub it with some oil. She had anointing and spices. She can't get behind that big stone. The guys sure ain't leaving. They're scared.
Right.
Could you imagine that conversation? Well, where are you going, Mary? He's dead.
But I love him. I just want to be near him.
But he's dead.
Don't you love him?
Yeah, but he's dead. He'll kill us if we go.
You said you'd die for him.
Could you imagine that conversation? Well, how are you even going to get in the stone, away anyway?
Well, if you
come along, maybe. It's all speculation. But here's what's not speculation. Mary, our pony, she loves him. All of a sudden, he's standing in front of her and he's alive. Uh-huh. Can you imagine? Come on! Who's reading the Bible? Oh, wow. That had to be amazing. Well, he said, Mary, don't cling to me. She knows what she's doing. She's coming. She's like, Rebone! You got away from me once, you ain't going again. If you go, I'll be here. But she was running to him. He said, don't cling to me, Mary. He's not unsocial. He said, don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Yeah? What's he doing? He's talking about taking his blood. He's talking about going into heaven, being the priest between God and men, a high priest.
Yes. Right.
I haven't yet ascended to the Father. This is the best part, Mary. Don't cling to me, man. I just rose from the dead. I'm going to pull off Hebrews 9. It's going to be a wrap.
Yes, sir.
He said, but go tell my low-life, weak-willed, two-faced, say one thing, do another, runners, not followers. Untrustable, no good grupo. He didn't say that? He said, but go tell my brother. It's family term, it's covenant. These guys didn't do one thing right.
Come on.
They're sitting there saying they're going to die for him, and in a minute they all scram. Yes, one guy ran out of his clothes naked through the trees. Now, I'm not the sharpest man that ever lived, but if you run out of your clothes, you're trying to get away. Come on, think about that. On the night he was betrayed. Come on, this is where hurt ministers and pastors come from, hurt Christians. The night they're betrayed, they, you know, get a ministry going, they got a dream, a vision, a couple people running with them, next thing you know, they ain't running with you, or they don't like you no more, or they don't even know why they ain't coming anymore.
Right.
And after a while, you're like, we can't trust nobody, and I got this vision, ain't nobody here to help carry no planks and stones and build it, and mortar. Ain't got no mortar. We got sawdust between our rocks, man. And all of a sudden, you just get, now you're hurt. Pastor would be great if it wasn't for the people. Could you picture Jesus being like that on the night he was betrayed? He takes bread and a cup and he looks around those guys.
I can't believe you. Trying to lay down my life and all you do is care about yourselves. Oh, stop saying you'll die for me. Ain't none of you dying. John, get off of me.
Yeah? That would be us. You ought to follow Jesus. He has a way better way. In fact, I think he's the way. So he breaks bread and passes cup. Now the best is yet to come. He says, it's finished on the cross. All he's saying is the beating necessary to pay for your redemption. The blows upon my flesh have been enough. Then I can get to you and save you. But now he's raised from the dead and he's got to go to the Father. And he ain't playing. He said, Mary, don't you cling to me. I'm going to the Father and you can tell my brother. He's calling him family. You know what he's saying? I haven't changed my mind about you.
Right.
You're my boys.
Yeah. Right.
I chose you and I'm holding on to you.
Yep.
You're my pick.
Yep.
You're my roster. You're the best I got. And I ain't looking nowhere else.
Yes, sir.
My brother. Yes, sir. I'm going to my Father, your Father. I'm going to my God, and your God.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
Yep. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Same day in the evening, boop, he shows up in the room. They're all huddled for fear of the Jews. They're still afraid they're going to die. They're still afraid what happened to him is going to happen to them. They ain't in a violent prayer room. They're all in a room, scared. They're all going to be next. He walks right in the middle of that. Says, peace be unto you.
How can you love Jesus?
Why does he say peace to you? Because he just made peace through his blood.
Yeah.
You now have peace with God, Romans 5. Being justified by faith, you have peace with God through his blood. Yeah? And then he showed him his hands and his side, and they were glad that it was him. And right after it says they were glad that it was him, he says, peace to you. He says it again, peace be with you. Why? It's a different peace than the first peace. The first peace was, I just made peace between you and God. Your sins can no longer separate you from him. The second peace is, stop feeling so bad for God. Because when they realized it was him, what's the first thought? They horrified him and hit him. We all sat there and said, we'd die for you, and we all ran. We all said we'd stand with you, and none of us did. As soon as they realize it's him, what hit them? Their weakness. And the second piece is, hey, I already get that. Peace be unto you. Now listen to what he said. As the Father sent me. Do you find me a limit on this?
Come on.
As the Father sent me, for God so. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Now we always think power and glory and miracles. I wonder if he's talking nature and heart. I wonder if all the power flows out of who he is.
Yeah.
I wonder if you go looking for the power without his heart.
Come on, that's it.
You'd be one of these gifted men that have seen miracles, but you're sleeping with a woman that ain't your wife. Be careful. Yeah, I said that. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. You let your gifting affirm you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's your relationship and your life change. You ride the wave of your gifting. You let your ministry identify you. You're only as good as ministries go. You let Christ in you identify you. You have a good day every day. Okay. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he did something remarkable. He breathed on. And he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just say, holds all things together by the word of his power? Why not just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why not get Thomas or someone? Well, Thomas went there that first time. But why don't he just say, Philip, I need you to catch for me.
Phil.
Do some charismatic thing.
Just that before.
What? Why did he breathe on him and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he's the redemption of man. He brings man back to the beginning. How did God make man in the garden? How to give him life? What was lost when man sinned? Everything in that breath.
Right.
So now sin's destroyed so the breath can come. His blood speaks better things. So his blood's on the mercy seat, and the first thing the Redeemer does is say, as the Father sends me, so I send you. Watch, it's Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image. So in the likeness image of God, he made man. That got lost. Watch. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Does that sound like a restoration to image? Does that sound like the same? And then what did he do? Now watch this. You've got to catch this. It's the power of his blood. As if sin never happened. And that part we don't teach very well.
It's true. It's
true. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the body of Christ. I'm not saying you, Jesus. He breathed on them and breathed life back into them as if sin never happened. And then he said this. If you forgive their sins, they shall be forgiven. If you retain their sins, they'll be retained. When do you have permission to be in unforgiveness? When do you have permission to read a book by the cover? When do you have permission to see a man for his faults? So is he giving them an option and telling them they can do either or and that's the way it'll go? Here's what he's saying. If you go out and love them like I've loved you, they'll know the way to my love. But if you let your heart get hard, you get legalistic, you stereotype man, you pick up things that you already laid down. And you don't walk in love. How would they know the way to me? And you're the body of Christ. I'm looking at the body of Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here to live in us and empower us to follow Him. And the goal of our instruction is love. And if we miss love, we miss the whole point. Now, I'm not talking about being love. I'm talking about becoming love. That's what everyone was paid for, to become. That's what everybody's called to. I'm saying it straight again for about the third time. If we miss this point, we miss the main point of why I came. I'm going to learn how to do church without becoming her. Because if we become love, it will change the world.
Amen.
Sunday, churches will be filled all over this country. There'll be people in seats, counted in thousands upon thousands, and they'll enter into the building. They ain't going to change it. People become loud. Things got to change. So it starts with you, friend. Jesus came as one to reproduce into many. You might feel alone in your little sphere of influence. You might feel alone in your family. You might think it's just you. And no, it's got to start with you.
Okay.
And the kingdom of God is if a man or woman scatters seed.
Just bring it, girl.
God sowed that seed. You've got to walk in power. It will change the world. You with me?
Yeah.
I want to pray something over you. It's early because we didn't let them guys sing any more hoedown songs. Huh? They tuned me up, man. That was awesome, man. I could listen to you sing that change song like three more times in a row. I know you might dwell the Lord come on you and empower you, but you did it with all your heart, my friend. You even stepped away from my little keyboard and gave me some spins. But then they walked off. I'm like, what? They got me foaming at the mouth. I'm like, they're done? I interrupted. Hey! You get speaker, you think you get away with some things. Hey, they ain't done, are they? Yeah. I'm going to pray over you guys.
And we'll do something real quick. It'll be fun.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because if you're coming back tomorrow, full of doubt and unbelief, but honestly, you wouldn't have to. I feel confident tonight you got enough. And if you would take what was said tonight to heart and start praying and talking to God from a sincere place,
yeah,
grace would come upon your yes,
yes,
and start giving your yes expression.
Yes.
And grace would grow you into what He paid for without you trying so hard. Yes. The key to becoming love is you have to want to.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't. They want to hold on to the rights they inherited through Adam. People preach it's Christianity will cost you everything. Make it real intense and militant. Cost you everything. It'll just cost you what you never were in the first place.
Right.
Christianity is just giving back the lie. Why is it so hard to give back what you were never made for?
It's so bad.
Isn't that powerful? Come on. Holy Spirit taught me this stuff 22 years ago. I've been living this way 22 years, not 22 months. You say, I don't believe you live this way. Time will tell. I'm confident I do. Actually, you just see me on weekends. I get to live with me. So I know me a little more intimately. I mean, I go to bed with me. I wake up with me. I look in the mirror and it's me. This little bit of facial hair. This is the first time I've ever let my hair grow on my face, ever. I was a little bothered by it. I thought I should probably save it. It looks a little scruffy. I thought, well, I'm going to cowboy church. It's kind of like... there's like motorcycle guys going to be here and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to fit in. So I didn't shave it, man. My wife, oh, I looked at it so many times and said, this is scruffy. I got to shave it. And I have half my friends are like, dude, shave it. And half my friends are like, let it fill in. I kind of like it. My wife likes it, so that's a help. Yeah. We won't take an offering. We'll pass a basket. Put in a thumb up or a thumb down. I'll count the No, I'm going to keep it for a couple. Here's what I told my wife. I said, when I get to that house that's host to me, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to shave it before service. And she said, are you really? I said, I'm thinking I will. And I went in the bathroom, and I just couldn't shave it. I thought, I'm going to throw in there. So when I hug you, I'm going to make sure I rub it on you. It's the first time I ever left my hair grow on my face, so it's funny. It's an experience for me. See, my friends, they always see me clean shaven, so they're freaked out, most of them. I went into church to my mail and stuff, and they're like, what are you doing? They're wondering if I'm backslidden. They have beards. Like, they have beards. And they're like, two of the young guys said, I'm liking it, dude. One guy said, I'm down with that. That's what he said. So let it grow. Can I pray something over you?
Yes.
I was gone about 5 minutes ago. I got distracted with my facial hair. I hope we can recover. Jesus? He's here. I know he's in somebody, right? So he's here?
Yes.
Isn't that comforting to really believe? I know I'm having fun with you, but he's not a friend to believe. He's here.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
And he loves you.
Yes.
While you were yet a sinner, didn't even know to try to do right. While you were yet a sinner, he'd already sent his son. Pretty big deal, huh?
Yes.
Father, I just ask for grace to come in this room. Come on every life, empower every life to take these words, let these words produce amazing eternal fruit to bring glory to your name. Let every person in this room realize the honor of a sphere of influence that they all possess, that there's people around their life, and without them striving or trying, just let them have grace on their lives so that they affect their sphere of influence like never before. Without striving, without preaching, without trying to make a statement, just let their disposition, their life, their responses to things begin to make a statement in the hearts of men. God, I thank you that their lives lived open up the ears of others. I thank you it gives us a voice. I thank you, God, we don't have to just preach something to people. We can live it. We can become it. And we have more of a message than going to heaven someday. Go preach saying the kingdom of God is here. And don't look here and don't look there, because it's within you. So I pray, Father, the expression of the kingdom will be found in our lives like never before. That this manifestation of love will be real and powerful in our homes and on our jobs and in our relationships. I pray that mercy and forgiveness will be a challenge. Or a chore. I pray tonight will be a night of conviction. I pray that tonight will be a night of change in a healthy and beautiful way. Father, thank you for meeting us with your grace and giving every one of us a privilege to run well. I thank you for the honor. I bless homes right now. I bless marriages. Pray for the grace of heaven to come to everyone. Nobody's looking around. My eyes aren't even open. If your marriage has been struggling and you're sitting there with your spouse and you haven't been pursuing Jesus, you've just been fault finding and getting caught in a trap and your heart's paying a price. Sir, the greatest thing you can do, ma'am, the greatest thing you can do is just grab the hand of your spouse. If you grab the hand of your spouse, what would be awesome if it would be sending this message, listen, honey, I want you to know I'm listening to this man, and I'm not listening for you. I'm listening for me. And I haven't been pursuing to be like Jesus. I've been caught up in what's wrong. And I'm releasing you, and I'm releasing that, and asking you to forgive me. But I want you to know I'm hearing this man. Man, it would be great, spouses, if you grab hands like that and just squeeze each other's hand and make that statement to each other that, hey, I don't want to be one up. I ain't got you on the ropes. I'm looking at my own heart tonight. I'm looking at my own life. And I'm releasing you. And I see that I want to become more like my King. And I'm done praying that you change. I'm done being selfish. I'm going to become more like you. And I appreciate the honor of loving you. I'll tell you right now, I've seen it countless times. Marriages can be totally restored by the power of God and the grace of God right now. And a moment of humility like that, if a marriage will just squeeze each other's hand and just release each other and say, you know what, I take responsibility for not pursuing to be more like Jesus, and I'm going after him. And I'm going to let truth make us free. Not counseling. Not rightness. Not what he said, nor what she said. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Come on, marriages. I know there's a handful right now. I can see it in my heart. Be bold. Take their hand. Don't pull your hand away if they take your hand, please. Just squeeze their hand. Father, I bless every marriage in this room. I thank you for bringing wholeness into your family. I thank you, God. If it felt like it was beyond hope, I thank you that it's so revealed as a lie. And I thank you that you supernaturally touch their hearts, their eyes, and restore true love. Not Hollywood love. True love. And God, I thank you all through this room. In Jesus' name. You say my spouse isn't here. I took their hand. God knows that. You're not lacking any good thing. Grace be upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.